四个外加行的实修引导。一，慈城罗珠堪布讲授，更多课程请访问堪布官方网站www.慧灯之光.com。
道路门子人将保养了都马拉巴扎那都马拉巴扎那都马拉巴扎那都马拉巴扎那都马拉巴扎那都马拉马拉巴扎那都最多的基金金融我在这里道路的门把的人你快到他们就上路都白路住不必那瓦记得说娘姐金波做的那你没想送的摩路金波我那家的把个的当我们参图先把东巴的鸡将拉上杂的路
啊，各位法师各位导游大家晚上好啊，首先今天我们在这里啊，这个能够啊讲法听法，这个就是因为湛山精舍啊大义法师的大力的支持啊，非常感谢他们。
Good evening to all teachers and Dharma friends gathered here tonight. That we have this marvelous opportunity to listen to a teaching is due to the kind support of Dai, teacher Dai, and I'm very grateful for this.
然后接下来呢，我们听课之前，请大家发菩提心。
This evening, as we begin to listen to the teaching, let us make an aspiration of bodhicitta.
菩提心就是我们大乘佛教的灵魂啊，也就是大乘佛教的精华，也就是大乘佛教的基础。
Bodhicitta is the soul of the Mahayana tradition. It's its essence as well as its foundation.
也就是说，如果没有菩提心，等于就是没有大乘佛教。
Which is as much to say that if we don't have bodhicitta, then we don't have Mahayana Buddhism.
大乘佛教为什么是大乘佛教呢？就是因为有菩提心，所以叫做大乘佛教。
The Mahayana tradition is known as the greater vehicle precisely because of bodhicitta.
如果没有菩提心的基础啊，这样子的话，我们比如说，从表面上看上去就是大乘佛教，但是呢，实际上呢，不是大乘佛教。
Without bodhicitta, then even though at the surface level it may appear that we are following the greater vehicle, in actual fact we are not.
比如说我们今天啊，用这束花、这束鲜花供养释迦牟尼佛，那么同样的这个释迦牟尼佛，同样的鲜花，但是这个供佛的功德就是有所不同。
Depending on our motivation, the same offering, the offering of these fresh flowers here to an image of the Buddha, it has different merit depending on the motivation with which the offering is made.
那么同样的佛，同样的供品，为什么这个功德就不一样呢？在这个当中啊，起到决定性的作用的是什么呢？啊，就是我们的发心。
How is it that the same offering and the same object of offering can have different kinds and different levels of merit? The key factor that the degree of merit hinges on is the scope of our motivation.
那么我们就在释迦牟尼佛前供养一束花的功德啊，到底属于是大乘佛教还是小乘佛教呢？还是以我们的最后以我们的发心来决定。
Ultimately, whether an offering we make conforms with the motivation of the Hinayana tradition or the Mahayana tradition depends on the motivation with which we make the offering.
佛没有大乘和小乘之分。
From the Buddha's point of view, there is no distinction between greater vehicle and lesser vehicle.
大乘佛教、小乘佛教，或者是在大乘佛教里面分仙宗、密宗，所有的佛教的佛就是释迦牟尼佛。
From the Buddha's point of view, there are no distinctions between the greater and lesser vehicle, and no distinctions, say, in the Mahayana tradition between the sutric path and the path of Vajrayana.
那么供养的供品呢，也就是同样的一束花，这个也没有大乘和小乘之分。
In terms of the Buddha, regardless of whatever the tradition is, the Buddha that we are speaking of is the Sakyamuni Buddha. And in terms of the object of our offering, there is no distinction between the nature of the fresh flowers we're offering.
但是功德就是有所不同。那么这个功德不一样，怎么样不一样？如果我们是以菩提心的发心供养一束花，那么这个供佛的功德就是属于大乘佛教。
However, there is discrepancies in terms of the different merit that offerings can generate. If we make an offering with the aspiration of bodhicitta, then the merit that we generate thereby is the merit of the Mahayana tradition.
如果没有菩提心，在这个没有菩提心的情况下向佛供一束花这样子的话，那么这个功德就不能是属于大乘佛教，就是因为他没有菩提心，所以这个功德就是有可能是小乘佛教，也有可能是人天佛教人天佛教。
Without the motivation of bodhicitta, then an offering doesn't conform to the standard of Mahayana Buddhism. The offering may be that of the level of the lower vehicle, or it may be that of the more worldly vehicle of Buddhism.
所以我们所有的大乘佛教，不管是寒川佛教，还是藏传佛教，显宗还是密宗，我们所有大乘佛教的出发点就是菩提心。
So regardless of whether it's the Chinese tradition of Buddhism or the Tibetan tradition, whether it's the Sutric tradition or the Tantric tradition, one thing all of the Mahayana traditions have in common is the foundation of bodhicitta.
所以我们这个今天听课的时候也要大家也要发菩提心。
So this evening, as we are listening to the teaching, it's very important that we do so generating bodhicitta.
在未来的几天当中，我们每天听课之前会给大家提心发菩提心。
In the coming few days, we will continue to remind ourselves of the importance of generating bodhicitta.
就是因为没有这个菩提心的话，那我们讲经说法、听经闻法、烧香拜佛啊、禅坐坐禅念佛等等啊，都不能成为大乘佛教。
The reason being that without bodhicitta.Any dharmic activity we might engage in, whether it be listening to a teaching, reciting the Buddha's name, making offerings, engaging in meditation, none of these will belong to the scope of motivation of Mahayana Buddhism.
那么大乘佛教是什么？它的结果是什么呢？大乘佛教是让我们成佛的啊，然后小乘佛教是让我们获得阿罗汉的果位，就是这个区别。
The distinction between the greater vehicle and the lower vehicle is that the Mahayana tradition is oriented to us attaining Buddhahood, whereas the lower vehicle is oriented towards us attaining the Arhathood.
啊，那么什么样的叫做大乘佛教啊？什么叫做这个菩提心呢？啊，菩提心需要具备两个条件啊，具备了两个条件啊的话，就叫做菩提心。
So what is bodhicitta? In essence, there are two criteria that needed to be satisfied in order for us to fulfill the quality of bodhicitta.
那么这个两个条件当中，第一个是什么呢？对所有众生的这个慈悲心啊。这个就是慈悲心，就是菩提心的基础啊。慈悲心跟菩提心还是不一样的。慈悲心是这个菩提心的基础。
So the first thing that we need is compassion to all living beings. Compassion is different to bodhicitta, but it is the forerunner, the prerequisite for bodhicitta.
但是。在一般的这个慈悲心呢佛教也有，外道也有然后有信仰的人有这个慈悲心，没有信仰的人也有，也可以有慈悲心，所以慈悲心呢只能作为菩提心的基础，但是慈悲心还不是菩提心。
Compassion is something that Buddhists can have. It's also something that people of other religious traditions can generate. It's something that people of no faith at all are able to be in possession of. So whilst compassion is the prerequisite to bodhicitta, it's only its foundation. They are not one in the same thing.
但是佛教这样的慈悲心跟我们世俗我们大多数的人的这个对这个慈悲心或者是爱这两个字的这个内容这个理解还是有点不一样的。
Having said that, the way that the Buddhist tradition defines or approaches compassion and love is somewhat different to the way that these terms are conventionally understood.
我们世俗的人我们讲的这个爱心那么这也是非常好的，但是呢还是比较有这个跟这个佛教的慈悲心比较的话呢还是有一定的局限性。
So while the notion of love that is as it is frequently talked abouthas some approximation to the notion of compassion, it is still somewhat more limited or restricted in nature compared to the Buddhist understanding of compassion.
那么佛教的慈悲心它就打破了所有的界限国界宗族的界限比如说人跟这个生动物这样子的生命的层次的这个界限，所有的界限都打破了，所以叫做无量心此无量心和彼无量心。
Compassion in the Buddhist tradition, however, transcends all limitations, whether they be limitations of color, of creed, or even the distinctions between the human and the animal. So it's for this reason that we describe compassion in the Buddhist tradition as being immeasurable.
无良心就是有两个意思。第一个意思呢，这个我们修慈悲心的时候，修慈悲心的这个对象是没有任何的界限天下所有的众生，天下所有的生命，对他们都要修这个慈悲心。那么天下的众生是无量的，无量的，无限的，所以叫做思无良心。
One of the major reasons that we describe compassion as being limitless is the reason that the subjects or the objects to whom we cultivate compassion are limitless in their scope, limitless in their number and in their diversity. So it's for this reason that one of the reasons that we describe compassion as being limitless.
另外一个意思呢，我们对天下的这个无量的众生、无数的众生修慈悲心的话，那么他的功德也是无量的、无数的，所以也叫做无量心。
And another reason that we describe this compassion as limitless or beyond limitations is because the merit that is generated through compassion is in itself infinite and limitless.
那么慈悲心是什么呢？慈是什么？悲是什么呢？悲和慈这两个字放在一起的时候呢，这个内容也有点点不一样的地方。
So, if we're going to break the word compassion down into its etymological components, we can see that it's made up of two concepts.
那么慈是什么？悲是什么呢？我们从骨子里，也就是说发自内心的诚心实意的希望愿天下所有的众生远离所有的痛苦，大大小小的所有的痛苦，这样子的发心叫做悲这样子发心叫做悲心。
When we talk about the character Bei in compassion, this is referring to the very deeply felt aspiration and wish that all living beings be free from every kind of suffering.
然后慈心呢同样的发自内心的从骨子里希望天下所有的众生拥有所有的幸福拥有所有的幸福，这个发心叫做慈这叫做慈心。
And the other component of the term compassion refers to the heartfelt desire that all living beings enjoy every kind of happiness.
那么我们世俗讲的爱心也可以说是这个慈悲心的一部分，但是呢这两个是没办法等同的。
So the notion of love that we talk about in an everyday context may in fact constitute some part of what we mean with the Buddhist term compassion, but these are not equal terms or equal concepts.
那么这样子的慈悲心呢，我们先天有这样子的慈悲心是很难的，我们每个人都可以有慈悲心，但是这种佛教这样的这个无量的慈悲心，先天有这样子的慈悲心是很难的，所以我们要修，要培养这样子的慈悲心才可以的。
Whilst all of us have some kind of pre-existing or original capacity for compassion, the kind of infinite or limitless compassion that we're talking about in Buddhism is one that we need to work on cultivating.
那么这个修行的方法呢就是这个大乘佛教里面有非常非常多的非常具体的修行的方法，希望大家一步一步的去修。
In terms of methods for cultivating bodhicitta, the Mahayana tradition has a wealth of very concrete practices, and I hope that everybody applies themselves to the cultivation and practice of bodhicitta.
然后我们通过这个修心的方法去培养这个慈悲心的时候啊，到一定的时候呢，我们一定会想啊，我一定要去帮助众生，我一定要让众生离苦得乐啊，那个时候就会有这种实际心动，这个时候就会有实际心动。
After we have really dedicated ourselves to cultivating compassion, we will find that a desire arises in us to help other beings, to assist them in being free from suffering. This desire to be of real practical use in assisting other beings will arise within our minds.
这是一个慈悲心的一个发展成长的过程。首先是我们心，我们啊心中希望啊所有众生离苦得乐，只不过就是一个心愿而已。然后这个心愿发展到一定的程度的时候呢，然后我们就有勇气啊去实际心动啊，我要让众生离苦得乐，就会有这样子的这个勇气。
So this is a process of maturation of the development of our compassion. To begin with, our desire for all beings to free from suffering is really just at the level of hope. But through ongoing practice, this hope becomes a kind of courage to engage oneself in acts that will assist other beings in becoming free from suffering.
那么这个时候呢，我们的慈悲心开始转化为菩提心啊，之前是慈悲心而已。那么现在呢，啊，不仅仅是一个心愿啊，就是有一种实际心动啊。这个时候，我们的慈悲心开始转化为菩提心。
And it's at this point that our compassion is slowly being transformed into bodhicitta. So what we began with was a wish or an aspiration.But with our desire to be of real use in benefiting other beings, slowly our compassion grows into bodhicitta.
那么这个时候呢，我们当我们有一个实际心动的这个时候呢，我们一定会去想啊。那么目前我们没有这个能力，我连自己的问题都解决不了，我怎么能够让天下所有众生离苦得乐呢？啊，那这个时候呢，我们会去寻找。方法啊，有没有一种方法，我能够让天下所有众生啊离苦得乐？有没有一种这方法，我们会去思考这个问题。
But it's at this point when we really find ourselves wanting to be of effective benefit to other beings in helping them be free from suffering and achieve happiness that we will.Realize for ourselves that at the present point in time, we're very limited in what we can actually do to help others. So it's at this point that we'll begin to search for means, to search for methods that will enable us to become of more effective benefit to others.
当我们去思考，去寻找这个方法的时候呢，我们会发现有一个方法是可以做到这件事情。那是什么呢？就是首先我自己成佛啊！如果我像释迦牟尼佛一样这样子成佛的话，那么从此以后我可以啊离依无数的众生、无量的众生。
And after contemplating this and really searching for this answer, it will emerge to us that the way for us to be able to benefit beings most effectively is to attain Buddhahood ourselves. And through doing this, we will be in a position to be of benefit to innumerable numbers of other beings.
那么当我们发现有一个方法啊是可以做到啊可以达到我的这个目标这样子的时候呢，我们一定会想啊，那么这样子的话，那我一定要成佛啊，我一定要成佛，我就是要为了度化一切众生，我必须要成佛，有这种想法，有这种决心啊，有这个决心，这个决心就是我们菩提刚才讲的菩提心的第二个条件啊。这样子的时候呢，我们的一个简单的这个慈悲心转化为啊菩提心，这个时候这叫做菩提心。
It's at this point when we realize that there is a means for us to obtain our goal that we will generate the resolution, we will generate the determination to attain Buddhahood in order to be of benefit to other beings. And it's here at this point that we fulfill the second criterion of bodhicitta, which is the aspiration to achieve Buddhahood for the sake of other beings. In so doing so, we fulfill the two criteria of bodhicitta, and our erstwhile compassion has become transformed into bodhicitta.
从此以后，我们的所有的善根，我们的所有的心善都成为大乘佛教。
And from this point onwards, all of our virtuous acts, our virtuous conduct will be in conformance with the scope of motivation of the Mahayana tradition.
也就是说，从此以后，我们的包括烧香拜佛、诵经磕头这样子的这个善根，还有我们念佛、打坐、修禅等等，所有的这些这些善，都成为这个让我们成佛的大乘佛教的法成佛之因。
It's with this motivation that all positive dharmic activity we engage in, whether it be reading sutras, doing prostrations, reciting the Buddha's name, meditating, etc., all of these acts will become sources or causes, conditions for our own future attainment of Buddhahood.
好，这个就是一个菩提心的一个真实的一个这个培养的一个过程，但是这个培养的方法，这个培养的具体的方法呢，我们还要进一步的去学习学好了以后呢，进一步的去修。我们光是学还不行，得要去修这样子的话，我们才能够发起真正的这个菩提心。
So this is the process for the development of cultivation of bodhicitta. However, in terms of concrete practice, how we should go about practice, this is something that everybody should study in more detail for themselves, and then having studied, clearly put into practice. Ultimately, just knowing about it in theory but not putting it in practice is not sufficient.
好，那么这个菩提心的两个条件，一个是帮助众生、度众生，另外一个就是想成佛那么这两个当中，那一个是这个最终极的目标呢成佛，大乘佛教来说，成佛它不是最终极的目标终极的目标就是利益众生度众生，度众生才是终极的目标。但是不成佛的话，就是没有办法度众生，所以呢要成佛。成佛是方法然后呢，成佛的目标是为了度众生。
So of the two criteria of bodhicitta, first the desire to be of benefit to other beings, and secondly the aspiration to achieve or determination to achieve Buddhahood in order to be able to better benefit living beings. Which of these two criteria is the most ultimate goal or the most ultimate objective? In the Mahayana tradition, the ultimate objective, in fact, is not attaining Buddhahood. It is simply a means, a path we take in order to be able to benefit living beings most effectively. So it's the benefiting of living beings that is our ultimate objective.
所以大乘佛教的大乘佛教的每一句话，每一个心动都离不开利益众生。如果我们说的话，我们做的事情跟利益众生没有关系的话，那么这个就绝对不是大乘佛教。
So it's for this reason that every single word and every single act in the Mahayana tradition is oriented towards the benefiting of all beings. If actions and if words are not oriented towards benefiting beings, then they are not in accordance with the goals and objectives of the Mahayana tradition.
所以我们今天在座的各位这个居士佛教徒，我们也得要去 思考一下啊，我们也得要去反思一下，我们到今天啊，在这个之前，我们的这个修心，我们的学佛，大家都或多或少会做了一些功德。那么这些功德是对利益众生有关系还是没有关系啊？是大乘还是小乘？我们啊也得要观察一下。
So everyone here tonight, lay practitioners, Buddhists.Should reflect on their own activities, their own positive dharmic conduct that they have engaged in up until this point. Were your own activities undertaken with the aspiration of bodhicitta, or were they not? This is something that everyone needs to reflect on for themselves.
啊，利益众生啊，所谓的利益众生也有啊，也有不一样的层次。比如说，我们暂时。给他解决一些生活上的问题，或者是其他的这个心灵上的这个问题，那这个也叫做利益众生。但是这样子的利益众生呢，除了大乘佛教以外，还有很多其他的宗教也有或者是没有宗教信仰的人，他也会帮助众生他也会帮助人。
Of course, when we talk about benefiting others, there are many capacities in which we can do this. For example, we can undertake activities to alleviate physical suffering. We can help others to alleviate mental suffering. But ultimately, these kinds of activities, even though they definitely fall within benefiting others, are kinds of conduct that are shared by other traditions as well. They're not unique or exclusive to the Buddhist tradition.
那么这个菩提心啊，当中讲的利益众生是什么呢？就是当然不排除我们暂时在生活上、在精神上帮助众生这个也是可以的。但是这个不是最终的目标，最终的目标就是想所有众生成佛让他们成佛这个才是最彻底的利益。所以大乘佛教要发心那么就是我要让天下所有的众生成佛，所以我自己要先成佛所以我要去学佛，所以我要去打坐，所以我要去修心这样子的心才叫标准的这个菩提心。
The Mahayana tradition doesn't exclude kinds of activity that work towards the alleviation of temporary suffering or that work towards the provision of temporary happiness to other beings. These are certainly good and okay. However, in terms of ultimately benefiting others in a more ultimate sense, in a more fundamental way, then we really here are talking about achieving Buddhahood and helping others to achieve Buddhahood. This is ultimately...the most fundamental way that the Mahayana tradition really talks about benefiting other beings.
那么今天我们在座的不一定每一个人都有很标准的这个菩提心但是没有关系的，这个我们知道怎么去修，知道怎么去做的时候呢知道了以后呢，我们可以一步一步的去修，只要稍微投入、稍微努力一点的话，那么我们每一个人都可以有菩提心。
Perhaps not everyone here tonight has cultivated their bodhicitta to its fullest potential, but this doesn't matter. As long as we are clear about how we should go about cultivating bodhicitta, clear about the means of practice, then this is something that applying a due amount of diligence to, we will be able to succeed in. Everybody has the capacity and the opportunity to develop bodhicitta for themselves.
然后我们还没有这个标准的菩提心的人呢，我们今天可以勉强的被动的去向勉强的去向向什么呢我要让天下所有的众生成佛我要去做这件事情所以我要成佛我不成佛的话，我没有办法让天下所有的众生成佛，所以我要成佛那么佛怎么成呢？怎么成佛呢？ 修心才能够成佛啊。修心我们怎么能够修呢？那就是先去学习这个方法啊，先把修心的方法学好，学好了以后才能够修。所以我今天啊要学习啊，勉强的这样子发心也是可以的。我们不仅仅是今天啊，我们以后当我们还没有升起表尊的这个菩提心之前，我们每次都可以这样子发心啊。虽然这个还不够标准啊，不够标准，不够主动啊，但是呢我们可以被动的勉强的这样子想也可以的。这个被动的菩提心慢慢的可以转化为主动的啊，勉强的这个菩提心呢慢慢可以变成一个很积极的啊菩提心，这有一个转化的过程。所以只要我们有努力，有一个开始，那么菩提心总有一天我们一定会成功的能够修出菩提心。
Even though we might not yet have generated Bodhicitta to its fullest potential, this doesn't matter. For the time being, we can start out by making the Bodhicitta aspiration in a more mechanistic or contrived way, you might say. So this is thinking, or making the wish that one wants or wishes to benefit other beings. On this basis, one needs to attain Buddhahood. How does one go about attaining Buddhahood? Through Buddhist practice. In order to engage in Buddhist practice, one needs to know how to practice. So for this reason, one needs to study the Buddhist tradition. It's quite okay if we begin like this. In fact, moving from a state of more contrived or passive, you might say, bodhicitta to a more active and effortless state is a process of transformation. And as long as we begin and apply ourselves to it with some effort, then everybody can undergo this process of transformation from a more contrived bodhicitta to one that is more genuine.
好，接下来我们讲今天的这个主体的课程。
Now we are going to turn to the core topic of this evening's teaching.
那么我们今天的这个课的这个题目呢，是私家心啊，修私家心的一个实修的引导。
And what we're going to be talking about tonight is guidance on the practice of the four common preliminaries.
私家心或者是无家心啊，这个词是来自于藏传佛教。藏传佛教里面讲私家心和无家心，汉传佛教里面呢没有这样子的词汇，但是内容上啊。藏传佛教、汉传佛教都要修这个出离心，或者是这个私家心的内容。
Whilst the terms or the concepts of the four common preliminaries and the five uncommon preliminaries are specific to the Tibetan tradition, in terms of the content of the preliminary practices, then regardless of whether it's the Tibetan tradition or the Chinese Buddhist tradition, the cultivation of renunciation, for etc., these are all things that practitioners of Buddhism, Mahayana Buddhism, need to address.
然后我们藏传佛教和汉传佛教两个传承的这个佛教的依据是印度佛教，都是来自于印度佛教，以一个印度佛教的佛教的经典翻成了两种不同的语言啊，这就叫做藏传佛教和汉传佛教。
Both the Chinese Buddhist tradition and the Tibetan Buddhist tradition have a common ancestor in Indian Buddhism. So it is this common tradition in common which produced these two different schools or lineages.
那么印度佛教的这个阿毗达摩也叫做俱舍论，俱舍论当中讲得非常非常的清楚，如果没有出离心啊，如果没有出离心，在没有出离心的情况下啊，我们做任何善事啊都不能啊，这种善根都不能让我们 获得解脱。
The text, the Jushulun, was very clear in stating that without renunciation, then any positive contact we may engage in, it will not have the capacity or will not assist us in achieving liberation.
在没有出离心啊，我们刚才讲的是菩提心，现在讲的是出离心啊。在没有出离心的情况下，比如说我们烧香拜佛啊，修路补桥，然后就是大坐修禅等等，所有的善啊，所有的善，只能成为啊这个人天福报，只能成为人天福报。
It was very clear about the fact that without the mind of renunciation, then any virtuous conduct, making offerings to the Buddha, building roads and temples, engaging in meditation, without renunciation, any of these acts will only produce merit for worldly objectives.
那么人天佛教是什么呢？人天佛教就是为了享受人间和天人的这个福报啊，为了享受这个人天的福报而啊烧香拜佛诵经等等做善事啊，这样子的心善叫做人天乘啊，大乘小乘人天乘，或者是人天佛教啊，大乘佛教、小乘佛教、人天佛教。
So when we talk about worldly Buddhism or the worldly vehicle of Buddhism in contrast to the greater vehicle and the lesser vehicle, we're really talking about a Buddhism that is oriented towards achieving results and benefits in this existence or in terms of human existence, rebirth in the human realm or in the realm of the gods.
啊，那么我们现在就包括中国大陆啊，也是学佛的人就是越来越多，一年比一年多。那么我想海外的华人当中，可能学佛的人也就越来越多。那、但是呢，我们啊，这个学佛的人当中，真正能够懂得啊，怎么样去学，怎么样去修啊，这样子的人呢，非常的少。
In mainland China, the number of Buddhist followers are increasing year by year, and it's quite possible that this is the same in Chinese communities overseas as well. However, among these followers, the number of people who really know about Buddhism and know how to practice it are very few.
除了华人以外，在海外啊，这个西方人当中学佛的人啊，也就是越来越多。但是呢，真正的能够学佛、能够修、能够指导怎么样修啊，这样子的人呢，我想可能也许不是很多。
And among Westerners in other countries too, the number of people studying Buddhism is growing as well. However, among these, the number of people who gain true understanding of how to engage in Buddhist practice are also perhaps not very great in number.
那么我们大多数的这个所谓的学佛是什么呢？绝大多数的这个佛教徒的所谓的学佛是为了健康，为了长寿，为了发财，为了工作顺利啊，就是去烧香拜佛求佛这样子。
The vast number of Buddhist followers are in fact engage in Buddhist activities with a view to achieving positive results in terms of their health, longevity, material prosperity, and good luck and smooth running with matters in their professional lives.
我们必须要把学佛、求佛、这个供佛啊，这三个要分开讲。学佛、求佛、供佛必须要分开讲。
It's important that we distinguish very clearly between what we mean by studying Buddhism, propitiating the Buddha, and making offerings to the Buddha.
学佛是什么呢？向释迦牟尼佛学习。向释迦牟尼佛学习什么呢？向释迦牟尼佛学习释迦牟尼佛的智慧和释迦牟尼佛的慈悲心。啊，这个就叫做真正的学佛。
When we talk about studying Buddhism, we're talking about being a student of the Buddha, following in the Buddha's example. And this means to be a student chiefly of the Buddha's wisdom and the Buddha's compassion.
那么平时我们到寺庙或者是就在自己家里的佛堂啊烧香拜佛，那么这些叫做供佛。如果仅仅是烧香拜佛啊，没有出离心，没有菩提心，这样子的话，那这个就不叫学佛。但是我们很多人认为这个才学佛，这个就是学佛。其实这个不是学佛，这个就叫做供佛。
When we go to temples or monasteries or even in our home and make offerings to images of the Buddha, then without aspirations of bodhicitta, without a mind of renunciation, then these activities don't amount to undertaking these activities don't amount to being students of Buddhism. Rather, these actions are making offerings to the Buddha.
然后求佛就是我们当我们自己遇到一些困难的时候遇到一些困难的时候呢，然后我们临时抱佛教就是向佛前祈祷释迦牟尼佛保佑我保佑我能够解决当前的这个困难。如果你能够保佑我，能够加持我解决这个问题，解决这个困难的话，那么我就可以给你更多的上更多的香给你修苗等等，这是某种程度上的一个交易这叫做求佛，还不是学佛。
And the third category is that of propitiating or supplicating the Buddha, which refers to when we encounter mishaps or difficulties in life and we make a request of the Buddha that he protect us and ensure that we surmount our difficulties and resolve our problems. And that in return for this, if our wishes come true, we will repay the Buddha by engaging in various kinds of positive conduct, building monasteries, etc., things like this. In some way, this is a kind of transaction. In any case, it's not being a student of Buddhism. This is supplicating or making requests of the Buddha.
首先我们要深合一下，要观察一下我们自己在这个之前这个学的佛，学佛的这种方法到底这三个当中是属于哪一个？是供佛、是求佛，还是学佛
？So everyone needs to reflect on their own situation, the kinds of Buddhist practice that you have engaged in up until this point. Has it been as a student of Buddhism? Has it been as as someone who's making offerings to the Buddha, or has it been?Making requests to the Buddha.
如果我们有出离心有这个学佛这样子的话，那么偶尔我们供佛供佛就不一定是偶尔，我们可以长期供供佛，偶尔求佛都没有问题。但是没有学佛，没有向释迦牟尼佛的智慧和慈悲心学习，我们只有求佛和供佛，而且我们把这个自以为把这个就当作学佛这样子的话，那这个就是错误的是错误的路。
If we have generated renunciation, then it is okay for us to make offerings to the Buddha and on occasion to make requests of the Buddha too. However, if we have not sincerely studied or oriented ourselves to studying the wisdom and compassion of the Buddha, then simply making requests of the Buddha and making offerings to the Buddha and what's more, conflating this with being a student of Buddhism, this is very mistaken.Indeed.
那么今天我们每一个人都有这个学佛的机会，有一个这样子的机会，这个真的是非常非常不容易的。这个
绝不是一个偶然的机会，这是我们自己啊过去的堕世累劫的这个福报，今天我们才有一个这样子的这个机会。那么好不容易有一个这样子的机会的时候呢，那么我们学佛就要学一个正确的佛。
Everybody here tonight, having the opportunity to be a student of Buddhism is extremely fortunate. This opportunity is not coincidental, it's not accidental in nature, it's the fruition of positive karma accumulated over many previous lifetimes. Since we've attained such a rare and precious opportunity to study Buddhism, it's very important that we work out a proper direction and we have a proper understanding of what it is we're to study.
那么正确的学佛啊，正确的学佛是什么呢？我们不学这个人天佛教。不学人天佛教修解脱道，我们学佛修心啊，就是不能仅仅是发财健康长寿，就是为了彻底的解决生老病死的问题，彻底的从轮回当中获得解脱而啊学佛修心啊，这样子才叫做正确的学佛。
So in being a proper or being a genuine student of Buddhism, it's important that we don't do so with the scope of motivation of the worldly or mundane vehicle that is Buddhism that is oriented solely to yielding results in the samsaric realm. It's important that we commit ourselves to studying a Buddhism that is oriented towards achieving ultimate liberation. This is the proper direction of study that we should commit ourselves to.
好，那么我们要修解脱道，要走上解脱道。那么什么东西让我们能够走上解脱道呢？就是出离心啊，出离心。有出离心，我们从此以后就是走上了解脱道。还没有出离心，在没有出离心的情况下，我们修路不巧捐款修庙、共僧修庙，或者是听经闻法等等，所有的这些善只能是人天佛教，而不是解脱道。所以我们要发出离心。
What is it? What is the force that enables us to enter into the path of liberation? This force is renunciation. Until we have renunciation, then any kind of positive works and positive deeds that we might engage in, they will only be in accordance with the motivation of the worldly vehicle of Buddhism. So it is important that we have, we cultivate our renunciation.
好，那么什么叫做出离心呢？我们刚刚介绍的这个菩提心，它需要具备两个条件啊。同样的，出离心也要具备两个条件，只要具备两个条件啊，就叫做出离心。
So just as with bodhicitta, there are two criteria that need to be fulfilled. So it is with renunciation. Renunciation also has two criteria that need to be met in order for its quality to be satisfied.
首先第一个条件什么呢？要知道要明白这个轮回的真相。
The first of these criteria is to understand the truth of samsaric existence.
那么轮回的真相是什么呢？这个轮回当中，六道轮回当中，就像我们人还有天人那么在这些众生当中呢，虽然有幸福有快乐，那么人和天人当中有幸福有快乐，这一点佛也不会否定但是呢，我们人和天人的这个所谓的幸福是非常短暂的，没有一个永恒的幸福。然后这个幸福呢是相对的，没有绝对的幸福，所以
所有的幸福都是短暂的，所有的幸福都是相对的，然后这个相对的幸福当中呢，也有很多很多不幸福的东西啊。所以佛就是说，这轮回当中呢，没有太多的幸福。
What we need to understand is that within the six realms of psychic existence, even though among the realms of the human realm and the realms of the God there is happiness, this is something that the Buddha would not deny. Nevertheless, this happiness is ephemeral, it's short-lived in nature, and it's also relative in nature too. On top of that, this happiness that we enjoy, this relative happiness, also contains all kinds of seeds of unhappiness. So it's important that we understand the relativity and the ephemeral nature of the happiness that we ostensibly enjoy in our existence.
但是在轮回当中呢，痛苦呢，确确实实就是有很多很多的很多的痛苦啊，我们人和天人呢，就在六道轮回当中算是很不错的。但是呢，人也有生老病死，然后生活当中的各种各样的我们的精神上的痛苦、肉体上的痛苦等等，有很多的痛苦。然后除了人和天人以外的这个众生，比如说像动物或者其他的这个众生呢，有更多的啊，有更多更多的这个痛苦。所以啊，轮回当中有幸福有快乐，但是呢很少啊，然后呢大部分绝大多数啊都是痛苦。
Moreover, we need to appreciate that while we may have some small happinesses, the majority of experience in samsara is of suffering. While humans, in comparison to beings of other realms, may be somewhat better off, even still, humans have to deal with the suffering of birth, aging, sickness and death, in addition to all kinds of other problems and sufferings that arise, physical suffering, mental suffering. So a proper appreciation of the suffering that is entailed in samsara is very important.
好，这个是第一个，我们要就看到这个轮回当中有很多很多的啊，痛苦，有各种各样的痛苦啊。人和天人算是很不错的，即使我们能够生生死死都能够做人，都能够做天人啊，也是有很多的这个生老病死等等很多很多的痛苦啊。那么其他的众生如果做动物、做地狱这样子的话啊，这个痛苦就是更加的不可思议的。所以啊，首先就深深的体会到啊，轮回当中有太多太多的痛苦，这个就是第一个啊条件。
Even if we were able to be reborn in the human realm or the realm of the gods, or the realm of the gods for all of our future existences, we would still have to deal with a great deal of suffering. And this is not to mention the suffering of beings in other realms, animals, for instance, and beings in the hell realms. So it's extremely important in terms of satisfying the first criteria of renunciation that we have a profound understanding and appreciation of the suffering of cyclic existence.
然后第二个条件呢，就是因为这个轮回当中有太多太多的痛苦啊，自己也痛苦，然后我们也发现更很多很多其他人也有很多痛苦的人啊。那么这样子的话，我要超越这个轮回，我一定要解脱啊！我解脱以后呢，我也可以让很多人更多的人解脱。所以，如果我不解脱，我一直都在这个轮回当中去寻找幸福的话，那么偶尔我在轮回当中可以找到一点点的幸福，但是呢，我能够找到的幸福啊，这个就是很渺小、很渺小的。那么，寻找这个、追求这个幸福的过程当中，我要面临的啊，我要面临的都是痛苦。然后，这个痛苦呢，占大多数啊，幸福就这么一点点啊，所以我要超越它啊，我一定要在这个轮回当中解脱啊，这个是第二个条件啊。这两个条件啊加在一起，这两个发心加在一起叫做出离心，出和离就是这个意思，我要从这个轮回当中出离啊。
出力，我要解脱啊，这个决心啊。有一天如果我们有一个坚定不移的决心啊，我一定要超越轮回，我一定要在这个轮回生老病死当中啊要解脱，我要下决心啊从这个轮回当中解脱啊，只要有一个这样子的决心，那么这个就是标准的出离心。
So the second criterion The second criteria that needs to be satisfied in order to generate renunciation is the aspiration, the determination to transcend cyclic existence and achieve liberation. This is based on the realization of the nature of cyclic existence, the suffering, and the knowledge that even though one might occasionally encounter some happiness here and there in cyclic existence, it is only of a very short-lived and ephemeral nature. So for this reason, one generates the aspiration to be free entirely of samsara and to achieve liberation. And it's this aspiration, this determination, that is the second criterion of renunciation.
好，这个时候我们必须要懂得啊，这个树立几个目标啊，建立几个目标。这个目标呢，一共有四个目标，四个目标当中呢，包含了我们的学佛的所有的目标。那么这个四个目标当中，最后一个是最永久的、最终极的目标，另外的三个目标呢是临时的目标。但是这个目标先把一个目标完成了，再为第二个目标奋斗，然后第二个目标成功了、达到了以后呢，为了第三个目标奋斗，这样子一步一步的学。
So in order to transcend cyclic existence and achieve liberation on this path, it's necessary for us to give ourselves four goals that will assist us in getting there. Of these four goals, it's the final one that is more ultimate in nature, and the first three are provisional goals that assist us in reaching our final destination. But it's important that we fulfill each goal one by one, fulfilling the first before moving on to the second.
好，这四个目标，最终极的目标呢，就是成佛。我们刚才讲过了，说成佛也可以，或者是说利益众生，普度众生也可以。这实际上这两个是一个意思。我们最终极的目标虽然是利益众生，但是如果不成佛的话，那么这个没有办法完成啊。所以成佛，说成佛也可以，说普度众生、利益众生也可以，这是最终极的目标。这个是四个目标当中最后一个最终极的目标。
Our final destination, our ultimate goal is to attain Buddhahood or to benefit other beings. Really, we can say that these objectives are equivalent in nature for the very reason that we are attaining Buddhahood in order to be of benefit to other beings most ultimately. So this is our highest, our final, our most ultimate goal.
那么这四个目标啊，前三个目标是我们学佛的过程啊，三个是过程，然后呢，最后一个是结果。
So, in among these four goals, the last of them, the fourth one, is our destination. It's our final goal, and the other three are essentially provisional objectives that assist us in getting there.
然后这个结果和这个过程当中啊，这个过程是非常非常重要，因为没有这个过程就是不会有第四个目标，所以这个过程啊是非常的重要的。
But this process, the first three goals are extremely important because without the process, we can't achieve the result.
好，这个过程有三个目标啊，三个目标我们一个一个目标要一个一个的去完成啊。第一个目标是什么呢？就是出离心。第一个目标是出离心，第二个目标呢，出离心完成了以后去修菩提心，就是我们刚刚介绍的菩提心。第二个目标完成了以后呢，第三个目标 就是真无空性啊，禅宗讲的明心见性啊，或者是净土宗讲的一心不乱、一尘不染啊，这样子的境界啊，或者是藏传佛教讲的真无大圆满、真无大手印啊，这个就是我们的第三个目标。
So these first three objectives that assist us in reaching our ultimate objective are firstly renunciation, secondly the cultivation of bodhicitta, and thirdly arriving at a realization of emptiness or realizing the basic nature of our minds. This is described in different ways in the Chan tradition, in the Pure Land tradition, and in, say, the Tibetan Dzogchen tradition, but it is ultimately describing the one state of realization.
这三个过程啊，就像我们先读小学，小学毕业了以后再去读中学，中学毕业了以后呢，然后最后去读大学。同样的，我们先把出离心，然后就是菩提心，最后啊真无空性。
So, just as in the course of a normal education, we would progress from elementary school to middle school to university, then so too with our Buddhist practice, we move from cultivating bodhicitta onto from generating renunciation to cultivating bodhicitta, and then onto obtaining a correct view of emptiness.
如果我们就是没有建立这四个目标，四个目标都没有啊，但是我们信佛啊，我们相信释迦牟尼佛啊，恭敬佛，恭敬佛法，然后我们遇到问题的时候呢，去求佛啊，供佛啊，这样子的话，那么我们的这些学佛啊，我们的这些所谓的学佛，实际上就是根本就不是学佛，因为我们这四个目标当中啊，我们一个目标啊都没有建立，我们没有为任何一个目标奋斗，我们只是为了更好的轮回，更好的就在这个轮回当中啊，更好的流转啊，就是为了轮回而求佛，就是为了轮回而烧香拜佛，没有为了解脱而做什么事情，所以啊，这种学佛是错误的学佛。
Even though we may believe in the Buddha, we may have reverence and respect for the Buddha, and we may turn to the Buddha in times of difficulty, without having any of the goals, the four goals mentioned just now, then we lack any basis for describing ourselves as students of Buddhism. Without at least even one of these goals, then essentially all we are doing is making offerings or engaging in dharmic conduct for the sake of having a better existence within samsara. We're ultimately not oriented towards transcending it.
那么我们前面讲的大乘和小乘的区别一样的，比如说我们把这一束鲜花啊供养给这个释迦牟尼佛，这样子的话，那么这个功德是解脱道还是人天佛教呢？啊，在这个当中的界限是什么呢？就是出离心。如果没有出离心的情况下，那没有出离心是什么意思呢？就是为了健康啊，为了长寿啊，我这一辈子过得很好呀，发财呀，然后就是我下一辈子也能够啊，就在这个人间或者在天人当中享受人天的福报啊，我不堕地狱，不堕这个旁生，不堕恶鬼，然后我一直都生生死死能够享受人天的福报啊，就是为了这个啊，这样子的动机，这样子的发心，把这束花供养佛，那么这个就叫做人天乘啊，也叫做人天佛教。那么这样子的功德啊，再多也好，它不能让我们解脱啊，只能让我们在这个轮回当中啊，比较顺畅的啊流转。
So just as we can draw a distinction between the merit generated by an offering made with the aspiration of the Mahayana tradition and the aspiration made within the scope of the Hinayana tradition, it's also possible for us to distinguish between scopes of motivation that accord with the path of liberation and a scope of motivation that only accords with the mundane, worldly vehicle of Buddhism. So just as we said before, offerings and activities that are engaged in for the sake of simply having a better existence in this life or a positive fruits in future lives, etc., without renunciation, then even if this merit, calculating this merit at its very greatest, it can only assist us in reaping worldly results and will be of no use in helping us achieve our liberation.
如果我们能够以出离心作为出发点啊，也就是发了出离心，然后把这束花啊供养佛。这样子的话，那么同样的一尊佛，同样的一束花，但是结果不一样。第一个结果是人天成啊，人天佛教；第二个结果呢啊，就是解脱道啊。那么以出离心的基础上，我们把这束花供养给佛，这样子的话，那么这个功德，最后这个功德让我们啊获得解脱。啊，让我们获得解脱。所以，这个出离心就是啊，人天佛教和解脱道啊，解脱道当中有大乘有小乘，这两个都在解脱道。那、解脱道和人间的啊世间法啊的界限啊界限，就是出离心。
So the decisive factor in distinguishing between the path of liberation and between worldly or mundane Buddhism is precisely renunciation. A flower offered in renunciation will generate merit towards one's ultimate liberation, whereas without renunciation, then the same act only belongs to the scope of motivation of worldly or mundane Buddhism.
所以如果我们不想在这个轮回啊，在生死轮回想解脱，那就是必须要啊，首先我们为了第一个目标而奋斗，就是出离心，就是为了出离心而奋斗。
So if we don't want to remain in samsaric existence, if we want to be liberated from it, then we really need to apply ourselves, struggle towards achieving the first criterion, and that is the cultivation of renunciation.
好，这个内容呢，就是这个不仅仅是藏传佛教说的，也不仅仅是汉传佛教说的，这个就是在印度佛教啊，当时佛陀，然后佛陀以后的这些印度的高僧大德，那么他们的著作当中写得清清楚楚的。所以呢，不管是藏传佛教还是汉传佛教，都必须要走这条路。凡是想解脱的人，都要先第一个就是要发出离心。
So the importance for those desiring liberation of cultivating renunciation is the same regardless of whether it's the Chinese tradition or the Tibetan tradition. In fact, it's all the same in all of the Buddhist traditions, including Indian Buddhism. All of the various generations of Indian masters equally stress the importance of renunciation.
那我们怎么样为了出离心而奋斗呢？具体的方法是什么呢？藏传佛教里面就讲四加心啊，四加心就是修出离心。然后汉传佛教还有南传佛教虽然不说四加心，但是呢，就这个四年处啊，有一个叫做四年处，这个四年处是一大座开始就要修这个四年处，从这个四年处当中啊，慢慢慢慢的修这个出离心啊。南传佛教也是这样子，这个出离心呢，小乘佛教也要出离心啊，不仅仅是大乘佛、小乘佛教都需要出离心。
So even though the four common preliminaries in the Tibetan tradition that are oriented towards cultivating renunciation are particular to the Tibetan tradition, the importance of renunciation and practicing it is equally so in the Chinese tradition and in the Theravadan tradition as well. For example, at the beginning of meditation sessions, practitioners meditate on death, etc. These are all oriented towards the cultivation of renunciation.
那么我们培养出离心的话啊，通过南传佛教，通过汉传佛教或者藏传佛教，只要方法没有错，只要自己能够努力的话啊，这个都是没有问题，都可以发起，可以能够发起这个标准的出离心。
So regardless of the approach that one takes, whether it be that of the Tibetan tradition or the Chinese tradition or the Theravada tradition, then as long as one has properly grasped the practice and applies to it, themselves to it with diligence, then all of them are equally capable of enabling us to generate renunciation.
所谓的方法没有错，意思就是说藏传佛教、汉传佛教、南传佛教，佛教里面的方法是不会有错的，但是呢，就是我们个人的理解或者是个人的实际修行的这个过程当中这个如果出错这样子的话，那就是自以为在修藏传佛教或者汉传佛南传佛教，实际上自己理解错了，方法错了这样子的话呢，那就不一定能够修得出来。否则的话南传、汉传、藏传都有这个方法。
So, all of the Buddhist traditions mentioned have methods and approaches for cultivating renunciation, and they are equally effective. When we talk about having a proper understanding of practice, however, it's not doubting in any way that any of the traditions lack trustworthy and effective means for generating renunciation. It's rather, in some cases, practitioners may not have an accurate understanding of how to go about practicing them.
我们如果通过藏传佛教修这个出离心的话，那就是要修四加心。四加心是什么呢？加心四也叫做四加心，也叫做四前心。前心就是出离心、菩提心，这些修法都是为了证悟空心禅宗讲的明心见性，就是为了明心见性，就是为了证悟空心，为了证悟空心要做一些预备的工作预备的工作，前期的工作，所以叫做前心。
If we're going to use the Tibetan method for cultivating renunciation, then we need to practice the four preliminaries. The preliminaries or preparatory stages are thus described because they are laying the foundations of our ultimate goal, which is the realization of the nature of emptiness. These are the preparatory foundations that we put in practice in order to enable us to reach this ultimate goal.
那么这个四加心是什么呢？第一个人生难得第二个就是死亡无常第三个轮回的痛苦第四个因果不续，就是要去思考这个四个问题，去思考思维这四个问题。
So when we refer to the four common preliminaries, we can also call them the four thoughts that turn the mind from samsara. The first one is cultivating an appreciation for our precious human birth. The second, impermanence and mortality. The third, karma and its consequences. And the fourth, the shortcomings of samsara. And it's to these four thoughts that we need to apply our contemplation.
那么这个四个思维的方式呢，在藏传佛教里面每一个教派里面都非常非常的重视这些基础的这个修行比如说格鲁派的话，那就是这个宗喀巴大师的菩提道次第光论那么这个里面呢，关于这个出离心的修法还有这个菩提心的修法讲的特别特别的多，特别特别的这个圆满。
In terms of how to go about contemplating each of these four thoughts, all of the different schools and lineages of Tibetan Buddhism really prioritize and regard them as very important. So in the Gelug tradition, for example, Tsongkhapa's treatise, Stages on the Path to Enlightenment, contains a very detailed description of how of practice methods for cultivating renunciation.
然后噶举牌的话，冈布巴大师的这个解脱庄严论哦，那么这个也是一个基础，就是讲大部分的内容都是基础的修法。那么这个里面呢，要修出离心的方法、思加心的这个方法，讲得特别的清楚，特别清楚，特别完整。
And in the Kagyu lineage, for example, Gampopa has treatises which.Detail very clearly how one should go about these practices.
然后尼玛巴啊，在尼玛巴的这个修行引导文当中呢，就像大圆满的前心啊，普显上师言教。那么这个里面呢，私家性的修法讲得特别清楚，也很完整的。
In the Nyingma tradition, we have the introduction to the Dzogchen preliminaries, the words of my perfect teacher. In these texts, the preliminary practices are also described in extremely great detail.
萨迦牌叫做理思贪啊，贪心原理四种贪心的这个方法啊，那么这是一个。出离心的这个修行的方法，然后觉囊派也有这样子的这个基础的修法，反正整个这个藏传佛教的这些教派当中啊，都有这个私家性的修法，讲得非常非常清楚的。
The Sakya lineage and the Jonang lineage all have their own texts dealing in great detail with concrete practices for the four preliminaries. In brief.The Tibetan tradition as an entirety regards the preliminary practices as very important.
所以我们比如说学汉传佛教的啊，学禅宗的也可以这样子学，先基础的这些修法，通过藏传佛教的方法去修出离心、菩提心，然后这个出离心和菩提心修完了以后呢，然后再去找一个禅师啊听。禅宗的这些啊这些诀窍，然后去修禅宗啊，这样子的话，这个就跟这个不叫藏传佛教、汉传佛教的一个混乱的修法，而且这个是一个非常圆融的、非常圆满的一种修行的方法，有互补的作用。
Students of the Chan tradition, for example, could consider.Applying or practicing the preliminaries from the Tibetan tradition in order to pave their foundations in the cultivation of renunciation and bodhicitta, and after having completed this, then finding for themselves a Chan teacher to assist them with Chan techniques to further their practice. This shouldn't be considered as an eclectic, inappropriately combined combination ofTibetan and Chinese approaches. Rather, this is a very complementary, beneficial way that the two practice traditions can be combined.
然后修汉传佛教的净土宗的念佛的法门，念佛的法门也需要有出离心，也需要有菩提心。那么这些出离心和菩提心，比如说用藏传佛教的方法去修出离心和菩提心，然后就是念佛啊，一心不乱，一尘不染，这样子去念佛。那么这种念佛呢，在出离心和菩提心的基础上念佛，那么这就是更加的圆融，更加的圆满。
And it's the same with Pure Land practice as well. Students could firstcultivate renunciation and bodhicitta by relying on the Tibetan preliminary practices and then move on to reciting the Amitabha Buddha's name. This is a very beneficial and complementary way of combining the two practices.
如果先不修藏传佛教，直接就是一直都想修汉传佛教或者南传佛教也可以的，但是呢必须要修出离心的。
Of course, if a student wishes purely to study or to practice in the Chinese tradition or in the tradition of the southern schools, then this is fine too. However, any student of Buddhism must cultivate renunciation.
好，那么这个四个家亲当中啊，我们今天呢简单的介绍一下前面的两个家亲的这个思维的方式。
So of the four thoughts that turn the mind from samsara, this evening we're going to introduce briefly the first two.
就是今天因为我们时间的关系，就是没有办法详细的展开的讲或者介绍，但是呢如果想修的人大家可以在这个网络上网络上像菩提学会的网络或者是慧灯之光的网络还有显密佛网这些网络上有很多很多的这个音频视频文字学习的资料特别的丰富特别的多，只要自己能够努力的话，我们现在学习的这个条件特别特别的这个成熟因为这个高科技尤其是网络发达了以后呢给我们提供了一个非常非常好的这个学佛的方法现在非常的方便，我们可以在这个上面网络上可以学习。
This evening, due to time constraints, we're not going to be able to really flesh out our description of these practices. However, for students who wish to learn about them in more detail, there are an abundance of materials and resources available online, whether it be at the Puti Xiehui website or the Hui Deng Zhuguang website or the Xiemi Fowang, right?Website. Any of these websites have many resources, text, videos, all kinds of resources that can be downloaded. So relatively speaking, we exist in a time due to modern technology where our sources for the study of Buddhism are very ample.
第一个人生难得，人生难得是什么呢？首先我们要知道我们自己的生命的价值。
So in terms of the first thought that turns the mind, the cultivation of appreciation for our human rebirth, this is about realizing, appreciating the value of our human life.
然后我们这个佛教里面大乘佛教的佛经里面，这个就是释迦牟尼佛亲口说的佛经里面就讲十八种这个下满十八种下满就是八个先下十个圆满一共就是十八种这个下满，这个意思就是说我们比如说像我们今天在座每一个人都具备了这个十八个条件十八个条件。那么这十八个条件呢，我们今天拥有这样子的条件，但是这个十八个条件是非常不容易的非常非常难，来之不易就是一个这样子。那么这些我们今天不展开的讲，这十八个我们可以，我们刚才讲的这些佛经里面，就这些论点里面呢，像宗喀巴大师的这个菩提岛次第光论，大圆满的前行，普贤上师演讲这些里面呢，这十八个一个一个讲得非常清楚，而且呢每一个的这个思维的方式思维的模式也就讲得非常的清楚，所以我们进一步的去学习这些论点我们今天没有办法就这一个每一个都给大家介绍，没有时间，但是我们可以进一步的去学习这些论。
So in the sutras, the Buddha himself spoke of the 18 advantages of a human rebirth. These advantages are extremely precious, they're extremely rare, but they're all advantages that all of us here tonight are in possession of. Tonight we don't have a lot of time to go into each of these 18 advantages in detail. However, they are explained very well in works such as Tsongkhapa's Stages of the Path, in the the Nyingma words of the perfect teacher, etc. So this is these 18 advantages of human rebirth is something that everybody can study themselves independently.
那么我们每一个人啊，不管是在这个社会上啊，不管是在这个社会的地位是什么啊，不管是我们无论在这个社会上扮演什么样的角色啊，从这个学佛的角度来讲啊，有一个这样子的学佛的这个机会，从这个角度来讲，我们每一个人都是非常幸福的，非常幸运的啊，非常的幸运的。
Regardless of what our social status or identity may be, the fact that we have an opportunity to study Buddhism is, from the point of view of the Buddhist teachings, extremely fortunate and extremely lucky.
但是这些啊，这个机会，学佛的这些机会，我们啊，平时都啊不去思考，所以我们都不知道有那么难得啊，有多么的难得，我们也不知道，是因为我们不知道这些是非常非常难得的，所以呢啊，我们也大多数的人就不去珍惜这些机会。
However, because the majority of people really don't reflect on the nature of this opportunity, they don't realize in actual fact how rare and precious it is. And for this reason, they don't know how to cherish it.
我们啊，世俗人，我们世间人的一个最大的毛病是什么呢？任何一个东西啊，我们拥有这个东西的时候呢，我们不认为这个有多么的难得，多么的这个什么，所以我们去不珍惜啊。当我们没有这些东西的时候，离开我们的时候呢，我们才发现啊，这个是非常非常不容易的。但是这个时候呢，啊。时间已经晚了，所以我们这时候知道了也是没有用。
One of the greatest shortcomings that we have as humans is that while we're in the possession of something, we don't realize its rareness and its preciousness, and we don't realize the importance of cherishing it. However, as soon as we lose it, it's only then that it starts to occur to us, in fact, how important or how rare or how precious it actually was.
首先我们一定要深深地体会到这一次的我们的这样子的这个人生是千载难逢啊，非常非常不容易，首先必须要确定这一点，确定了以后呢，然后我们才懂得啊珍惜这个机会，珍惜自己的生命，所以我们要走上解脱道啊，珍惜自己的生命，珍惜这个机会的开头就是要认识到我们自己的生命的价值啊，从这个作为出发点，所以第一个要去思考人生难得。
So the most important thing that we firstly need to gain certainty in respect of is the fact that our current human rebirth is a once in a blue moon opportunity. And because of its rareness, it's something that we really need to cherish very greatly and use in order to attain liberation.
那么这个十八个这个下满的人生，这个思考下满的人生，这个不是藏传佛教说的，这个就是大乘佛教的很多很多的经典啊当中讲得很清楚。藏传佛教只不过把佛经里面讲的这个概念啊，把它模式化，把它规范化，就变成了一个修行的思维的方式而已。实际上，这个就是佛释迦牟尼佛亲口说的这个内容。
The concept of the 18 advantages of human rebirth is not something that's exclusive to the Tibetan tradition. It's derived from the Mahayana sutras. All the Tibetan tradition did was to extract these ideas and turn them into a systematic form of practice.
然后第二个啊，这个加兴叫做死亡无常啊，死亡无常，我们要去思考啊，去思考这个死亡有多么多么的这个无常啊，我们的生命有多么多么的这个脆弱啊，要去思考这些问题。
The second thought that turns the mind is that of impermanence and mortality. So this involves us reflecting and contemplating on the impermanence of human life and, in fact, the ephemerality of our human existence.
就像人生难得有十八种不同的思考，从也就是说，从十八个不同的角度去思考我们的生命的价值。同样的，死亡无常呢，用七个不同的方法去思考我们的生命有多么多么的脆弱，或者是说七个不同的角度去思考人的生命是非常脆弱的，非常无常的。
So just as the first thought, the appreciation for human rebirth has 18 different perspectives from which we can contemplate the rareness and preciousness of human life. The second thought of impermanence and mortality, this practice provides us with 7 different perspectives from which we can reflect on the impermanent and ephemeral nature of our human existences.
我们的这个人生啊，虽然是千载难逢、来之不易这样子，非常难得的。但是呢，死亡是非常的无常，所以失去这样子的机会，失去这个生命呢，是非常容易的啊。要活得一个这样子的人生呢，非常非常的难，非常的难。但是失去呢？非常的容易，随时都有可能失去随时都有可能失去。那我们就是获得了一个这么难得的这个机会，然后我们什么也没有做，失去了那么这个是非常非常可惜的。所以这两个思维加起来了以后呢，它一定会让我们当下就要去实际行动修心，它一定会鼓励我们鞭策我们去修心。
So even though attaining this precious human rebirth is a very, very rare opportunity, something that comes along only once in myriad lifetimes, losing this life is something that could happen any time. Our flame could be extinguished at any moment. So if we combine these two thoughts and reflect on the fact that even though this precious human rebirth is something we have received, the fact that it is impermanent and may be taken from us at any point leads us to conclude that if we don't utilize this human rebirth, if we don't do anything with it, then it's extremely pitiful situation indeed. And so combining these two thoughts will really compel us into taking concrete steps towards our own liberation.
那么这个时候呢，我们比如说当我们还没有修这个思加心人生难得无常这些都没有修之前呢，我们绝大多数的人还是念学佛都是为了精神为了精神。那么其他的工作这些都本身就是为了精神，本身就是为了现世念学佛也就是为了现世，为了现世的健康长寿就是这样子那么学了这个思加行以后呢，然后我们就会有很大的转变很大转变。从此以后我们就觉得金钱物质对我们作为一个在家人需不需要，需要的，没有这些东西是没有办法生存的。但是呢，这个不是唯一的我们需要的，还有更多的我们需要的东西。那金钱我们可以适当的去可以追求然后呢，世俗的这些还有除了金钱以外很多东西，世间人该有的可以有，但是呢，这个不是我们的唯一的追求还有更高的这个更好的追求这个时候我们发现有一个更好的东西我们可以去追求，这样子的时候呢，然后我们对这个金钱对这些世俗的比如说名利这些方面呢，我们能够适当的把自己的欲望可以适当的可以控制。
Until we've really turned our mind to the four thoughts, All of our worldly endeavors are really oriented to this life, and these endeavors also include our Buddhist practice. Until we've really cultivated renunciation through these four thoughts, then even our Buddhist activities are oriented towards achieving results in this life. It's through the cultivating renunciation by turning our mind to the four thoughts that we are able to undergo a great transformation in our priorities and values. So rather than purely see the most important things in life as material objectives, money, fame, status, etc., we will start to have goals and values of a higher nature that we seek to orient ourselves towards.
这个四加行是我们的修心的原动力我们的修心的原动力以后我们能不能够顺利的这个走上解脱道就要靠这个四加行如果四加行的修法不够深不到位不够标准这样子的话那我们表面上学佛实际上所有都是为了现世的名和利这样子我们永远都没有办法走上解脱道所以希望大家脚踏实地认认真真的去思考这个人生难得死亡无常这些基础的修法这样子我们才能够有希望
Ultimately whether we'll be able to progress successfully in the path of liberation will depend on the extent to which we have really laid firm foundations in renunciation and the four thoughts. We should regard renunciation as the primary force or energy which propels us along the road of liberation. So for this reason, I hope that everybody really diligently applies themselves to practicing these preliminary thoughts to the most in the strongest way possible.
好，我们今天的这个课就讲到这里。好，我们现在做一个回向。那么回向的意思呢？我们刚才听经闻法、讲经说法，这个是所有功德里面呢，听大乘佛法、传大乘佛法是最殊胜的这个功德。那么这个功德，我们回向，回向的意思就是分享，分享给天下所有众生。我们希望就是以此功德能够。天下所有的众生暂时能够心福快乐健康最终每一个众生都能够成佛或者是往生西方极乐世界以这样子的心愿我们念这个回向词
苏南的一当这是八年同里你别站那盘学讲解个那解忘了这八这边做连着挖着文秀我们阿红班子个这班马色的我们阿红班子个这班马色的我们阿红班子个色的红
谢谢谢谢阿弥陀佛谢谢大家